Please open up your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 10 as we consider today in God's Word one way that the Lord Jesus wants to lead us as His people. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews 10, and once you've found that, please bow your head with me, and I would like to begin this morning with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it would be my prayer now that You would still our hearts and minds and help us to focus our attention exclusively on what You want to say to us today from Your Word. We want to thank You for giving us Your reliable Word to be a lamp to our feet and to a light to our path. And I pray today that indeed You would shepherd us as Your sheep in the path of Your will. In Jesus' name, amen. As I go out into our community and knock on doors and meet people, I meet a lot of people who claim to be Christians but don't go to church. And they will say things to me like, well, sure I have faith, but I don't think I really need to go to church to worship God. Why should I go to church when I can just worship at home or maybe just watch a little bit of church on TV? Many times when I have a conversation, I'll start out by asking if they have a church that they attend regularly, and then if they say yes, then I'll say, oh, well, what church do you attend? One of the most interesting responses that I get is when somebody answers that first question, oh, yeah, sure, I attend church regularly, but then they can't remember the name of the church that they go to. You know, and so then they're shouting to somebody in the back of the house, hey, you know, what is the name of that church again? Sometimes I kind of feel like laughing when that happens, but it's not really very funny. You know, just recently I was having a conversation with a man who told me that he had faith and that he was following the Lord, and yet in the same conversation he was telling us about how he had dropped out of church years ago and hadn't been back to church for years. That's a fairly typical conversation. I understand we have about 40 or so churches in Ottawa, but you know, the truth of the matter is that many of them are very small. And that there are a whole lot of people right here in Ottawa, Kansas, on a Sunday, even many who would self-identify as Christians who are not in church on Sunday. But folks, this is by no means just a community problem. Ottawa is not unique in this way. I understand that overall in America, church attendance is declining. Now, the pollsters will say that about 40% of Americans say that they go to church regularly. But there are other statistics, and if you do a more detailed analysis, they show that the actual percentage of Americans in church on any given Sunday is more like 20%. As a matter of fact, it's declined from 20.4% in 1990 to 17.7% in 2004, and that was 13 years ago. I'm sure that the trend has continued and probably even accelerated. But the most concerning thing to me is that even many people who have attended Bible-preaching churches in the past and who claim to be born-again Christians are in the process of becoming less faithful in church. And I think one reason for that is because there's just so much more fun stuff to do in life. Our worldly culture considers Sunday now just to be another play day. And if we're not careful as Christians, we follow right along with the practices of this world, conforming ourselves to what they do. And so we have our sports games on Sunday, and we have family activities, and we have our vacations, and we have work obligations that sometimes intrude, and we have the cares of this life that come crowding in. And so people will think to themselves, I have so much going on. I mean, can I just watch the live stream? Can I just listen to the podcast of the message later on when I have time? What is the big deal about going to church? Is it a big deal? Or is the idea that Christians should be faithful and frequent in their church attendance just one of those old-fashioned standards of the past that we can safely do away with? You know, it used to be that serious Christians believed that it was important to be in church whenever the doors were open, unless you were providentially hindered. That used to be the common understanding of serious Christians in this country. But what, were they right about that? Or was that idea just some kind of cultural adaptation that has outlived its usefulness, as some would say to us today? Well, let me just tell you right here at the beginning of this message this morning that yes, going to church and going to church regularly is a big deal. And today I want to show you why, from the Bible, God's Word. This morning we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture here in Hebrews chapter 10 that I have mentioned many other times before in my preaching, but I have never preached on this passage directly. It's a very well-known verse. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the best-known passages about church attendance in the Bible. And yet we would also probably have to say it's also one of the most frequently ignored passages about church attendance in the Bible, even though it so clearly spells out for us one of the very basic ingredients of essential Christian practice. Not only that, but I want to say this verse has special relevance to the times in which we are living. And so in that way, in many ways, this message that I'm preaching to you this morning is just a natural continuation of the message that I preached last week, that little series we had about the days before Christ's return, and last week about watching for His coming, being prepared when the Lord comes back. Here in this verse, the writer of Hebrews looks down to us through the whole walls of time. He speaks to us out of the pages of the Scripture with a message for believers living in these last days. It is found in verse number 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read it here in just a moment, but before I read it, let me just say that the writer of Hebrews here is not writing to Hindus. He is not writing to Muslims. He is writing to people who profess to be Christians, people who name the name of Jesus Christ. And he says to them in verse number 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." That last phrase there contains the prophetic part of this message, "as ye see the day approaching." I'll say more about that in just a moment. But folks, in that phrase there, "and so much the more," I see the idea of frequency in our church attendance. And in the phrase "not forsaking," I see the idea of faithfulness in our church attendance. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to share with you six reasons from this passage of Scripture why frequent, faithful church attendance is important, and it is a really big deal in the sight of God and for the sake of His people. And so the first reason why frequent, faithful church attendance is a big deal and it is important is because the Bible expects it. The Bible expects it. Would you look again at the first part of the verse? That part that says, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Folks, that is a description of an expectation that God has for His people. He is talking about something here that should be a given on the part of people who name the name of Christ. Grammatically, this statement is a statement of fact that almost carries the force of an imperative, of a command. It is expressed as a negative, and it tells us something that we are not supposed to do. We are not supposed to forsake. The word "forsake" means to abandon something. It means to leave behind or leave in the lurch or turn your back or desert. It is written in a tense that describes something that is happening as a process over time. And so what we are not supposed to be in the process of abandoning or forsaking or turning our back upon is the assembling of ourselves together. Now that Greek word there that is translated to assemble together is used only one other time in the New Testament. I want to show you that other passage that uses the same word. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together," same word, "unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now, folks, that passage is talking about the gathering together of believers in the sky at the rapture. But here in Hebrews chapter number 10, the same word, to assemble together, to gather together, it is being used to describe the gathering together of believers on earth in local churches, which, by the way, is a foretaste of heaven. Let me just explain, my friend, that if you say that you are looking forward to being with God's family forever in heaven, if you would say, "Oh yeah, Pastor, I can't wait to be with the Lord Jesus and His people in heaven," then you ought to also be excited about gathering together with your church family here on earth a few hours each week. And if you don't like fellowshipping with God and His people in church very much, you probably wouldn't like heaven very much either. But if I could just underscore the importance of this first point, folks, what we really need to understand in this first part of the verse is that God's will and His plan and His expectation is for every believer to gather together regularly with a local church family. Folks, this admonition is not something that pastors made up to fill up the pews. You understand that? And sometimes pastors almost feel apologetic, and sometimes I think Christians almost just blow this off. "Oh, that's just the preacher again, trying to guilt trip me into coming to church, quoting Hebrews 10:25. Yeah, I've heard all that before." Folks, I didn't make up this statement. This is God's Word. This is what God says to us today in the Scripture, and He is talking here about one of the most basic demonstrations of obedience and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, if you say that Jesus is Lord in your life, then it should be a big deal to you to be in church, because it is a big deal to Him. It is a big deal to Him, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ invented the church. It says that He laid the foundation for the church in Himself. It says that He is building His church. Even at this very moment, He is engaged in a process of construction of His church. And the Bible also tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the habit of regularly gathering together with His people. Let me show that to you in the Bible, at Matthew 18 and verse 20. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And again, the context there in Matthew 18, that gathering together is talking about the assembly of the local church. And so, as I said to that man at that door that day, as we were having this conversation, and he told me that he was following the Lord, and yet he hadn't been to church for years, I said to him that if he was truly following the Lord, that he would follow the Lord right into church, because that's where the Lord Jesus goes on Sundays and whenever the doors are open, and that's where He expects His followers to go as well. And so if you would say, as Katie sang a moment ago, "Oh yes, I love the leadership of the Lord Jesus in my life. I want Him to lead me in the path that I should go." He wants to lead you, my friend, into church with God's people. And you know what? We could really end the message right there, couldn't we? Because once we know the Lord's will, that nothing more should need to be said, right? As someone has said, you know, God said it, and that settles it. Amen? But the verse does have more to say, so I'm not done yet. So let's go on and let's consider some other reasons why frequent faithful church attendance is important. Number one, because the Bible expects it. Number two, because some are abandoning it. Would you look at verse 25 again? Look at that next phrase of the verse. It says, as the manner of some is. Now that word manner there is a custom or a habit. It's actually the Greek word that we get our English word ethic from. So it's an ethic, a habit of life. And so evidently, the writer of Hebrews had looked around and he had observed that some professing believers had gotten in the habit of not coming regularly to church or of dropping out of church completely. In other words, the same thing that is going on today was happening in his day as well, although maybe not to the same degree. But why this pervasive problem with attrition? Why is it that the manner of some is to forsake the regular assembly with God's people in church? I think there are two reasons suggested here in this text. Two reasons why people forsake the assembling of themselves together. And the first one is because sincere believers can fall into bad habits. When we start walking in the flesh, I think we see that in that word habit. It can be a matter of habit or of bad habit to be frequent and faithful in church or to not be frequent and faithful in church. And so if we start walking in the flesh and doing what our flesh wants to do, we might well start to develop a bad habit of dropping out of church. And by the way, let me just say right here, my friend, that if you're just getting into the habit of coming frequently and faithfully to church, I want to commend you for that. I want to encourage you to keep on going and developing that very good habit in your life. Really, this passage isn't directed primarily at people who are just developing the habit of coming to church. It's really directed to people who have the habit of coming to church and have started to forsake the good habit of coming to church. The passage has application to all of us, but that's the primary context right here. And so if you've been in the habit in the past, what God says to you today is don't quit that good habit. Now there's another reason that people forsake church as well in this passage. And that's because they're apostatizing from the faith. In some cases, that's why. And so what I want you to do is I want you to continue on with me in the passage. We're going to read verses 26 to 29. Continue right along in the context. Look at what he says. For, because if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and of fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. That passage of Scripture there is talking about people who are turning their backs upon their profession and faith in Christ. They are falling away from the faith. And so the flow of thought here from verse 25 right into verse 26 through 29 indicates that some who are in the habit of forsaking regular church attendance are doing it because they are also in the process of forsaking Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is still a major reason why many people drop out of church today. Because they are in the process of rejecting the truth of God's Word. And maybe they don't drop out of church all at once. Maybe they forsake a Bible preaching church, a place where the church is, where the Bible is clearly presented, for some other more liberal, progressive, compromised church. But then after that, many times the next step is that they fall out of church completely. They're on a long-term trajectory of forsaking church. And as a pastor, I can tell you that over the years, I have observed these things happening. I have observed many who have either forsaken church completely or they have developed the bad habit of becoming irregular or unfaithful in their church attendance. Usually, it doesn't turn out very well for them or their families. And so, I'll tell you, as a pastor, many times, the people that I am most concerned for in the flock of God are those who are becoming less faithful in church. Now, just on the one hand, I'll say that I am always excited and encouraged when a Sunday morning attender starts coming on Sunday evenings and on Wednesday evenings. That is almost always an indication that spiritual growth is taking place in that believer's life. But on the other side of the coin, I always get worried when somebody who used to come three or four times per week drops back to Sunday mornings only, becomes hit and miss, because that kind of a process almost always indicates that there's some kind of spiritual backsliding going on in that person's life. And of course, I'm not talking right now about people who are becoming incapacitated due to ill health, and they're becoming shut-ins, and they just physically aren't able to come to church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are choosing of their own will or volition not to come to church. And there is a warning here for us, folks, in this part of the passage, which is, don't be like these people. Okay, don't be like those who drop out of church. Don't follow in the footsteps of the apostates. Those are not people that you want to be your leaders. Those are not the kind of people whose example you should be following. And so don't even let a bad habit get started in your life. Don't become another one of those casualties of the spiritual dangers of dropping out of church. Don't entertain the deception that obedience to our Lord's expectation here in this verse is just not very important. Don't tell yourself, oh, one or two Sundays doesn't matter. Because that could be the start of a new bad habit in your life. I can't tell you, there's been many times where people have just told me, I just stopped coming, and then they never got back into the habit. Believer, my friend here this morning, don't even get that trajectory of forsaking church started in your life. If you don't want to get to the end of that road, don't even start down that road. Don't even take a few steps down that road, but rather be warned, as the book of Hebrews says, lest there be found in any of us an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Don't even get that process started, because it will not take you to a good place. The second reason why frequent faithful church attendance is important is because some are abandoning it, and those are not the people that we want to be following. But the third reason that is important is because the brethren need it. Let's go right on in the passage. Look at the next phrase of the passage. It says, but there's a word of contrast, all right? So here we're shifting gears. Here we're finding out what God does want us to do, all right? What he doesn't want us to do is forsake. What he does want us to do is exhorting, but exhorting one another. That tells us that the purpose of the admonition here in Hebrews 10:25, and really the purpose of the whole purpose of the local church, is the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we should be faithful and frequent in church because we have a job to do in church, which is described in this verse as exhorting. That word exhort means to call alongside for help or encouragement, for somebody to come alongside you and help you forward in the will of God. It refers to helpful speech, encouraging speech, which could be comfort, it could be correction, but the overall purpose of that speech is to propel somebody forward in the path of God's will. And really that word describes in a single word the primary activity that is supposed to be taking place within the local church. The church is the place where God's children are encouraged. And you know what? It begins with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because He is our resident encourager. His name is the Comforter, same Greek word as encourage or exhort. He is the one who encourages us within. And through His work, we also encourage one another by the ministry of the Word and by our mutual fellowship and by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and by helping and serving one another and by giving to one another and by showing deeds of love and compassion to one another, and by exercising those other spiritual gifts that we have been given. And folks, we all need this encouragement. The church is the place where God's people get their spiritual batteries recharged to face another week. The church is a place, it's a spiritual nursery where babies in Christ get fed in the Word of God so they can grow up in grace. The church is the place where we strengthen one another to stand firm against the pressures of this world. As we read in Philippians 1:27, that we are standing together with one another. The church is the place where we make each other better. Like iron sharpening iron, as we read in the book of Proverbs, the church is the place where we even build each other up by holding each other accountable and by warning one another when that is necessary and by speaking the truth in love. But you know what, my friend, if you're not in church, you cannot be encouraged, and neither can you encourage anyone else. And so you need to be in church. And your brothers and sisters in Christ need you to be in church so that the body may function correctly and may edify itself in love. Again, grammatically here in this verse, I want you to understand there are really only two options on the table. You are either forsaking, which is not God's will, or you are exhorting, which is God's will. That is His expectation. And so, yes, going to church is a big deal because what happens at church is a big deal. My friend, you are your brother's keeper. And so your life is not just about how you feel and what you want to do and what you want other people to do for you. It's about what other people need you to do for them. And so don't just think about yourself, think of others. As we read in the scripture, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Consider one another, because we truly need one another, and especially in these days. And that brings me to the fourth reason why it is very important and a great big deal for believers to be frequent and faithful in their church attendance. Number four is because the times demand it. The times demand it, and that's in the last part of the verse. Look at it with me. It says, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The word day there, the day, that's talking about the day of Christ's return. It's short for the day of Christ. It's talking about the day of the rapture, when the trumpet sounds and believers are caught up instantly into the presence of the Lord in the air. And then that word as in the verse is very important. It means as much as. And so the idea is the more that we can see the day of Jesus coming approaching, the more we should be assembling ourselves together so that we can be exhorting one another. And you know what? That is an amazingly significant statement. And so I hope you're still paying attention. I hope you haven't fallen asleep already. I hope you'll wake yourself up if you have, because you need to understand what this says. For one thing, this verse tells us that the more difficult and discouraging this world becomes in the days before the return of Jesus Christ, the more we should be encouraging one another as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And so the more hostile the opposition and the more seductive the worldly temptation becomes, the more frequently we should be assembling ourselves together so that we can fulfill the purpose for the local church that is described in this verse, and that we can be encouraging one another and strengthening one another to stand firm against the pressures that we are facing. That's God's plan. Then I also want you to consider this statement clearly implies that it will be possible for watching believers to see the day of the Lord's return drawing near. I mean, that's just a given in the verse. As ye see the day approaching. Obviously, it will be possible for us to see the day approaching. Now, some people say we can't have any idea when Christ is coming. You know what? The Bible doesn't say that. Now, it says that we will not know the day or the hour. Okay, so anybody that says they know the day or the hour, they've got that wrong, okay? But Although we don't know the day or the hour, the Bible also says that discerning believers will be able to tell that the day of Christ's return is drawing near. And folks, as I explained to you last week, today we see abundant signs that we are living near the end of the age. And this isn't a message today about the signs of the times, but some of those signs would be the reemergence of the nation of Israel, Jewish reoccupation of Jerusalem, widespread apostasy from the faith. Much more could be said about those things, but those are just some of the reasons. We know we are living in the fourth watch of the church age, just as it's found described in the Word of God. As I preached to you last week, there's not much time left on the clock. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. And so given the fact that we can see the day approaching, and more so now than ever before, and given the fact that the need for Christian fellowship has never been greater than at this time in history, how are Christians responding to that? Are they gathering together in church more and more, as the verse says, or is it less and less? Think with me here. Sadly, it's less and less. I just shared the stats with you at the beginning of the message. For example, many evangelical churches have done away with their Sunday evening services. Tom Rainer, the CEO of Lifeway, he does a lot of research into church trends, and he cites research on his blog that shows a rapid decline in Sunday evening services being held in churches over just the last 10 years. The decline has been very rapid just in the last 10 years. Now, 50 years ago, or I could say even more recently than that, many evangelical churches held 3 or 4 services per week. That was the norm. That was kind of the given. But now, many have just 1 or 2. As far as I know, our church here in Ottawa is just one of the very few churches in Ottawa that still has a Sunday evening service. I looked up the church that I attended as a little boy, evangelical church I attended as a little boy online just yesterday. Out of curiosity, I clearly remember going to choir practice and evening service on Sundays. They no longer have any Sunday evening activities at all. A large evangelical church. So that's one trend. But then another trend is that Christians are also attending church less frequently, even when the doors are open. Again, Tom Rainer on his blog says that 30 years ago, people were considered active if they attended church 3 times per week. But now, people that attend 3 times per month are considered to be active in church. He also says that the number one reason for declining attendance in churches today is that the members are attending less frequently. And so it doesn't take very much. I mean, if most people come 75% of the time, that makes a dramatic difference in the number of people attending church on any given Sunday. Christians are coming less frequently to church. And folks, these trends are just symptoms of the apostasy of the age in which we are living. They are part of the cooling off trends of Laodicean Christianity. The reason that Christians used to gather together 3 or 4 times in past years was because they felt the need. And now we don't have the need anymore. We are rich and increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. And it's like nobody ever read this verse in the Bible. Or if they did, they just don't care very much. But folks, the fact that that so many Christians and churches are doing exactly what this verse says not to do, and they are diminishing the frequency of their assembly at this critical time when we should be increasing the frequency of our assembly, is just another good indication that many have already fallen asleep or are getting spiritually sleepy, as we learned last week. And just as our Lord Jesus warned us in the parable of the absent house owner and many other passages of Scripture as well. And so we need to wake up. It is high time for God's people to awake out of sleep, as we read in the book of Romans. For now is our salvation nearer than when we just first believed. Folks, this is no time for you to be dropping out of church or to allow your love for Jesus to cool. No, this is a time for you to stir yourself up and get active for God and on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ and obey your Lord's will. Folks, if we want to be ready for our Master's return, then we need to be frequent and faithful in the services of the church, and we need to be increasingly frequent and faithful as well. We need to commit to being present, and as it says here, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So faithful church attendance is a really big deal because of the times in which we're living, because of the dangers that we are facing. And so let's not fall asleep. But do you know the biggest reason why frequent, faithful church attendance is important? The biggest reason of all is because the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of nothing less from His people. That's the fifth reason I have for you this morning. It's important because our Savior is worthy of it. Would you look back to verses 19 to 21 here in this chapter? I want to read you these three verses, and I'm going to read just a little bit into verse 22 so we get the force of this progression. Verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near." Now, folks, that is the bedrock truth of this passage, and it is the foundation of the exhortation that we are studying today in verse number 25. That bedrock truth is that we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has opened the way to God for us by His shed blood and by His broken body. And so, seeing that that is true, why would we choose to stay away from Him? It makes no sense that we would stand on the outside looking in and remain separate from our God when we have the privilege to draw near to God and enjoy fellowship with God. Yes, before we were saved, we did not have fellowship with God. We had no access to God because our sins were in the way. But when we trusted Jesus Christ, He took our sins out of the way. They were nailed to His cross. His high priestly work was applied to our account. And so now we have the privilege to come into His presence and enjoy fellowship with Him and with His family. And so why would we stay away? It's hard to understand Christians who say they love the Lord Jesus, but they don't really love being at church, especially when they have no trouble making time for the Chiefs or the Royals or their favorite hobby or whatever else it is that they love. I want you to see this verse, 1 John 3:14. The Apostle John says, "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." That verse says that love for our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ is a fruit of genuine salvation. It's a result of the unity that we share in the Holy Spirit. Because one way we fellowship with God is by fellowshipping with the family of God, because we see Christ in His people, because He dwells within His people. And so, yes, if we love Jesus, we should also love His people, our brethren, as it says here. And the kind of love that is under discussion in this verse is not just a talk. It is a walk. It's not just saying that we love. It is showing our love. Verse 18 of the same chapter, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Oh, one very practical way that we demonstrate our love to somebody is by spending time with that person, right? I mean, that's just a very practical way that we show our love in deed and in truth, by spending time with that loved person. And so it's hard to say that you really love your church family if you don't really care very much to spend time around them. And not only that, but it's going to be hard to fulfill what God says for us to do in this passage and to show our love in action if we won't even show our faces in church. I mean, that's where it begins. So let me just explain to you, my friend, that if you truly love Jesus, you won't find it hard at all to go to church. The more you love Him, the more you'll want to draw near to Him and to the rest of His family. That's the way it works. I mean, if you really understand what it cost the Lord Jesus to make your salvation possible, what it cost Him to make it possible for you to enjoy a personal relationship of fellowship with Him and a place in His family and a seat at His table and the pleasure of His company and the company of His own people, if you really understand what it cost Jesus, you will want to be frequent and faithful in church. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And the more we comprehend His love for us, the more we can reciprocate that love back to Him. And so it won't seem like a drudgery or a duty at all to go to church. If you truly love the Lord, you'll want to be there. You will want to make it a priority. It won't seem like a big deal to you to be faithful, because the love that Christ showed to you upon the cross is a big deal to you, because His broken body and His shed blood are a big deal to you, and having fellowship with your Savior is a big deal to you. But on the other hand, if you don't really want to go to church, then you really need to find out why you are not loving the Lord Jesus Christ like you should. A while back, I visited an elderly couple that were dealing with some pretty significant health problems that had kept them out of church for quite a few weeks. And as I prepared to have prayer with them, I asked them, as I often do, how they wanted me to pray for them. Found it interesting that neither one of them asked me to pray for healing. Neither one of them asked me to pray that they would be able to go home soon. Those had been very natural things, but the number one request from the mouth of both of these saints of God was that they would be able to get back to church. The eyes of the as he explained to me how much it meant to him to be in church with God's people. You know what? That was the love of Christ shining through in those believers' hearts. And folks, that should be the heart attitude of all of us if we truly love the Lord. Our love for Jesus is our number one motivator for everything that we do in the Christian life. We live to please the Lord because we love the Lord, and today we understand what He wants us to do, and therefore there should be a desire within us to do it. But finally this morning, there's a sixth reason in this passage why it is important for us to be frequent and faithful in our church attendance. Number six is because our sacred duties require it. Because our sacred duties require it, we're going to go back to verse 19, and I want to read this time all the way through verse 24 so you can get the flow of thought here. Let's go back to verse number 19 and read it again. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And I hope that as I was reading those verses that you saw at the beginning of verse 22 and 23 and 24, each verse began with the words, let us do something. Those three verses there tell us three things that we should be doing based upon that bedrock truth of the finished high priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way that has been opened up for us unto God. And those three things that we should be doing. First of all, and number one, I put them up here on the screen. Verse 22, we should be drawing near to God. That speaks of our relationship to God. We should be getting as close to fellowship with God as we possibly can. Secondly, verse number 23, we should also be holding fast to the profession of our faith. That speaks of our relationship to this world and that we are standing firm to our profession of faith as believers in Jesus Christ. And then third, we should also be considering one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And that means that we should be thinking about one another as brothers and sisters in the body and thinking about ways that we can encourage each other forward in the path of God's will to put our love into action, our love for Jesus, that it can be revealed in the way that we interact with one another. That's our relationship to fellow believers in the body. And by the way, that's one of the things that I'm trying to do in this message this morning. Very kindly and lovingly, I am trying to provoke you to love and to good works. I'm trying to push you forward to do what the Lord Jesus wants you to do in this matter of church attendance. But folks, these three responsibilities that I just read to you, 22, 23, 24, those three responsibilities are built like three pillars upon the foundation of verses 19 through 21, that bedrock truth of Christ's high priestly work. And then in the flow of this passage, on those three pillars and connecting them all together, we get to our text here in verse number 25. And it says, to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And so, in other words, what I'm explaining to you here is that one great big reason, while it's a really big deal for us to be frequent and faithful in church, is because all three of these responsibilities, all three of them, drawing near, holding fast, considering one another, all three of those responsibilities are strengthened by regular church attendance. All right, regular church attendance brings us into closer personal fellowship with God. It helps us to draw near to our Lord, who opened a way for us to have fellowship and enter into the very holiest place of His presence. So church attendance helps us to draw near to God. Secondly, it also strengthens us to stand firm before the world. Going to church regularly helps us to put our roots down deep into the Word of God and strengthens us to stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then third, regular church attendance brings us into contact with other believers who need to be encouraged. And so it helps us to consider one another and how we might encourage one another forward in the path of God's will. Our sacred duties require it. And so this morning, we've considered six reasons why frequent, faithful church attendance is important. Here they are. Because the Bible expects it. Some are abandoning it. The brethren need it. The times demand it. Our Savior's worthy of it. Our sacred duties require it. Is it a big deal to go to church and to go regularly to church? Yes, it is. God's plan for His people calls for faithful, frequent, and increasingly frequent church attendance, especially in these days of apostasy, as we see the return of our Lord Jesus drawing near. Folks, it is not optional. It is essential. It is mission critical. both for ourselves and others. And so I'd like you to think about this question. Will you, my friend, be faithful and frequent in your church attendance, and increasingly so as we see the day approaching? Will you? Let's bow our heads. And I'm going to ask the pianist to come and prepare to play number 263, O Breath of Life, 263.